Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Grant McCauley is who we are when it comes to baseball. And explosion last night for the Atlanta Braves offensively, specifically 5-8. Rick asked a question. I want to get to you with this, Grant. Has Johan Camargo now done enough and 270 over the last month to kind of just quiet all the third base issues and rumors?
Not really.
No?
I think that, I mean, we can come off of every game he has like this and get excited about it. He's hit some game-winning home runs. He's had some big hits. His walk rate is definitely up this year, which certainly helps. And last night is the best game that he's had in his career. Career high in hits, his first Grand Slam, career high in RBI. All that looks great. But, you know, if he goes into the deep freeze for the next, you know, week and a half, we're going to be right back in the same place we were. So what I would say is this. I just put a new article up at 929thegame.com, a Braves mailbag, in which I discussed the third base situation. In particular, losing Austin Riley for an extended amount of time since he's down with a sprained knee ligament and not going to play for about a month or so. Does that change what the Braves will want to do at third base come the trade deadline? Or has Johan Camargo done enough? Right now, I would just say he's been getting the opportunity. That's what he's got to make the most of. Nights like last night, certainly. Defensively, I think we've seen flashes of it, but it's just the consistency that he had a year ago really hasn't shown up yet this year in terms of the run production, the batting average, and all that. And I know that's crazy to say after he has a Grand Slam, four hits, and five RBI, but I'm saying in the long-term picture, you need more consistency, not just a great night and then a week and a half of, you know, 1-for-4s and 0-for-3s.
Grant, I totally get it. And I'm kind of where you are with Camargo, with Julio. I mean, the start was magnificent. No through six innings, 11 Ks. It's all awesome.
Right.
I need to see more. Now, let me ask you this with Johan Camargo. If he keeps this up, if the batting average is around 270, 280, 290, and we know he flirted with 300 last year, giving you a little pop, driving in some runs, like if he just keeps up what he's doing right now, is that enough for you at third base going into September and hopefully the playoffs?
If he's doing what he was doing a year ago, is that what you're saying?
Or
if he keeps hitting grand slams every night.
Well, okay, case, so yes. Just bottom in the month of June, he's 271, 3-homer, 15 RBI. He has 9 RBIs in his last 4 games. So if the 271, 3-homer, 15 RBI, you extrapolate that over a full season. Is that good enough for you from Camargo at third?
I think it's good enough in terms of, you know, it's going to be average production. But if you look at the line in terms of what he has done, you know, all year, it just hasn't been quite enough when you start to stack him up against some of the other. And I'm not talking about Nolan Arenado or guys like that, but there are so many other third basemen that are just giving you more production across that slash line. And that, I think, is where I just look at it and think that there has to be a longer-term plan in place for the Braves, because when you talk to people in and around the organization, it still seems to be the prevailing thought that Johan Camargo profiles best as a super utility type and someone who's deployed kind of as that Swiss Army knife of sorts for the Braves in positions where he is needed at times, when someone gets hurt, all of those things. It makes the club better over time, but this isn't the guy that you put in the lineup and other teams are thinking, gosh, well, we got to figure out a way to get Johan Camargo out. He's just not that guy. That, I think, at a cornerstone position like that, first base, they have one with Freddie Freeman. On the corners, they're hoping they have one with Ronald Acuna. And then, obviously, you can look at right field and third base as the other corner spots that if you're not getting power from up the middle, you've got to get it from somewhere. And that's why I look at third base as such a critical position to upgrade and get more power from long term.
Well, what about, and John, what I hear here is Grant McCauley needs more from third base. Mm-hmm. Okay, like if we just boil all this analysis down. But you mentioned long term. Let's talk short term. Let's talk 2018 and maybe getting in the super fast lane and maybe doing something really big this year. Do you want a Moustakas? Do you want to bring in a Frazier from New York? Is that what you're talking about? Do you want a big heavy hitter in advance of the trade deadline?
That would make the Braves a much more complete offense because they have done a lot built around Freddie Freeman most certainly, but you've gotten big-time contributions from Nick Markakis from bell to bell. I mean, he's not doing quite as much in the power department as he did there early on, but he's still a steady run producer, steady on-base guy. But when you look at what's happening at the top of the order in particular, these are where I look at ways that you could improve the Braves lineup overall. I'm not talking about a third baseman to hit leadoff. I'm talking about a third baseman that maybe could hit behind Freddie Freeman and allows you to move Nick Markakis up in the order and get him more at-bats because he's getting on base at such a high rate. That's one of the things it could do to bring in a guy like, say, Mike Moustakas. Now, Moustakas is only making $5.5 million this year, so if you get him around the trade deadline, you're only going to owe him a couple of million dollars plus a million-dollar buyout if he gets out of the mutual option for next year, which I think is around $15 million if he and the team decide that they want to continue that partnership. I'm not sure if that option voids if he gets traded. I'd have to get into the more of the logistics and language of the contract. But long story short, yes, Mike Moustakas would make this team better. Yeah, he'd be another left-handed hitter, but he'd be the kind of left-handed hitter who could play a solid third base, is a proven power threat, has postseason experience, and exactly the kind of shot in the arm that an offense like the Braves and a team like the Braves could use, because he's another guy that would just fit into what this club seems to be about this year, and that's a great mix of players. And I think he'd fit right in. Now, the price tag, that becomes a question mark.
Grant, the starting pitching has been much improved at SunTrust Park over the last month plus. Why has the starting pitching pitched so much better at home than they did early in the year?
I don't know if it's more of just guys like finding themselves, hitting their stride, whatever it may be, a combination of the opponents that they're facing. But, I mean, the Braves saved the last, you know, probably the last homestand. Certainly they're playing some teams that they should definitely beat in the Padres and the Mets. But for the most part, it really hasn't mattered who's been out there for the Braves rotation of late. They've been getting it from Sean Newcomb and Mike Foltynewicz all year. You have to feel good with what you saw out of Julio Teheran coming off the DL. Mm-hmm. Soroka had a great one, followed by a not-so-great one last night. He just didn't have his location going. But, you know, top to bottom, Anibal Sanchez has been extremely good for the Braves. That's been a surprise, and they've got, I think, more in the pipeline if they want to really start to tweak this rotation and find their five best guys. But an ERA of 1 in their last 11 starts at home, and the Braves overall this year, 3.30 ERA for the rotation, third best in Major League Baseball. That's a pretty good number.
Grant McCauley joining us here. Check him out on Twitter, at Grant McCauley, and also check out his great articles at 929thegame.com. You just mentioned the best five guys. Don't we kind of sort of have a six-man rotation right now?
Yeah, and I've been talking about this for a little while on this show. I talked with Dukes and Bell about it yesterday. It really has been, I think, some by design and some by, I think, just necessity in terms of how many starting pitchers they've employed. But I think the biggest thing about it has been when you've had a Foltynewicz, a Soroka, a Teheran end up on the disabled list with various small maladies, you've been able to have someone that can step in. And you've been getting it again. Sean Newcomb has been the Braves, I'd say, most consistent starter, though Mike Foltynewicz, you know, numbers wise, has probably put up the best season, you know, top to bottom of any of these starters. But I think it's one of those things that's also a product of having the ability to use a 10-day DL. People talk about the roster manipulation of that and, oh, well, you're just making stuff up. No, you really had to push guys through smaller things that they could be disabled for because you didn't want to lose them for 2 weeks and up to three starts. Now you can, depending on how you want to set your rotation and how the off days work, you could miss a guy for a start that he could use that rest and bring him back. So that knife, it cuts both ways. I mean, yeah, you can manipulate the roster a little bit. That's kind of what it's about. But also, this is why they collectively bargained it in there so that when guys are a little bit nicked up but don't need 2 or 3 weeks off, they can now go on the DL for a shorter period of time. So that, I think, has worked to the Braves' advantage as well.
Grant McCauley, how cool is it to see Braves Nation really rally behind their players when it comes to all-star voting?
That's
specifically
awesome.
Nick Markakis now in the lead, having passed up Bryce Harper.
It's pretty amazing to see that Nick Markakis is not only has he become the top vote-getter among National League outfielders, but he is also the number 2 vote-getter overall in the National League behind
Freddie Freeman.
That's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Now, Freeman, I would have believed, would get some serious all-star support, but I didn't know he would be the top vote-getter either. But, you know, winning really cures a lot of ills, and it certainly, you know, it gets the fan base resurgent and excited and rejuvenated about what's been going on. And the fact that, as I've been saying, you know, for much of the last week or two, this isn't an isolated couple of weeks in April or the first week of May where the Braves got excited and swept a couple series and grabbed first place for a day and then gave it back.
Right.
The Braves have been in first place for 46 of the last 48 days since May the 3rd. They're sitting on the best record in the National League as we approach the All-Star break in about 3 weeks. These are all things that if you're hearing in spring training, you would have been over the moon to hear about these things.
Or so, drug tested, one or the other.
I mean, that's been the case in some cases. But either way, this is a team that has got the
Robinson
biggest
Cano.
Division lead as well. There's a lot of different things going right for the Braves. We talked about the offense early. Talk about the pitching as we have today. Lately, that's been what's carrying the Braves.
Let me ask you about Folty and Acuna. Will they be coming back this weekend?
Mike Foltynewicz should be back this weekend from what I understand. They're making sure that when he does throw his side before making his start, I believe, which would be, what, Saturday the 23rd, whenever he can come off the DL, he's supposed to start over the weekend at home against Baltimore. Acuna, though, is down in Orlando. He's been working out. If the reports are good when the Braves get back home, they can decide what that next step is, send him either to Gwinnett or send him to Rome. I would say early next week would probably be best case scenario for Acuna, but you know, maybe he could sneak back in by Saturday or Sunday. I'm just not of the opinion that they're looking to rush him back and that all the time he needs down in Orlando, within reason, and then 8 to 10 plate appearances on a rehab assignment would be in his best interest just to kind of get back up to game speed before they throw him back in at the major league level.
Why was Luis Gohara sent down?
The big thing is to get him pitching every day. He was not getting regular reps out of the Braves bullpen. He's not a guy that you're going to turn to like a Sam Freeman where, hey, you're going to throw an inning tonight, then face a couple hitters tomorrow, then have a day off, and then do it again.
Right.
He was a guy that you were going to bring in for specific stints, maybe at least an inning moreover, usually two or three innings. It just seemed like it was best for him to have the opportunity to pitch every fifth day. And he's had a pretty tough year, just in general, with some family stuff going on. His father passing away over the winter. His mother's been sick. The injuries in spring training, which wiped him out. He's gone through a lot. So I think just getting him back in a rhythm. So hopefully, if they call upon him, you know, later in the season, need him, he's ready to go. And his value, obviously, is a starting pitcher. It's not as a reliever who throws once every 6 days.
Grant, we're running short on time. Did we blow it not getting Kelvin Herrera? And is Greg Holland, who was a late add by the Cardinals and not even their closer, it's Bud Norris, is he somebody that the Braves should be hollering at? Maybe Greg Holland, bring him in.
No, I wouldn't be. I don't think the Cardinals are going to sell off pieces. They're pretty invested in that whole thing. It cost them a draft pick to sign Greg Holland in addition to the money. I don't think that's where the Braves are going to look to shoot what money that they have into that particular money pit. But with the Herrera thing, I mean, hats off to the Nationals and Mike Rizzo for being a guy who was proactive, realizing that the Braves and the Phillies, not going away. They better fix one of their issues, and one of their issues every year for them seems to be the bullpen. They just got out in front of it. But there's going to be a lot of relievers. I think Baltimore, San Diego, I mentioned both these in my mailbag article at 929thegame.com. A plethora of relievers that will be on the market.
Did you mention Amir Garrett of Cincinnati?
I did not, but he's another
good. You like him, though, don't you?
He's another good arm to keep an eye on if the Reds want to let him go. But either way, there'll be some options. The Nationals just happen to strike first, I think out of necessity more than anything else.
Grant, great stuff as always, and really
Thank
appreciate
you,
the Don Mattingly swag that will now be going in the man cave.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
The wife will probably tell me where to put it, but that's okay. I'll put it somewhere. It'll be on the wall.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!